This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A middle school student in Randolph County says a trip to the principal's office earlier this fall turned into a violent arrest that left her with injuries to her face. She says officers pushed her against a wall, then down on the ground, pressing a knee into her back. Reporter Jordan Green heard about Consuela Batista's arrest and decided to look into her story. He also dug into other juvenile complaints filed in Randolph County, and he found that while African-American youth like Consuela make up less than 4% of the student population in that area, they account for more than a quarter of the filed juvenile complaints. He's here to talk about Consuela's story, which was published in Scalawag magazine. Jordan Green, welcome back to the State of Things.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Tell us how Consuela's story came to your attention.
Well, I saw a Facebook post of the photograph, actually, which ran with the story with these two big garish bruises on her face. The post was made by a family member of Consuela's, Byron Gladden, who's actually a member of the Guilford County School Board. And Byron's post was something to the effect of, is it ever justified for a law enforcement officer to do this to a 13-year-old?
Well, let's talk more about this, the day of the arrest. What happened that day? What do we know about that?
Well, sheriff's deputies showed up at the at Southeast Randolph Middle School. The previous day, there had been some kind of altercation between Consuela and another student. What exactly happened is in dispute, but the other student alleges, or the criminal complaint alleges, that Consuela heated up a belt buckle with a lighter or something like that, and then pressed it into the flesh of the other student. Consuela says that she was playing around with a belt, and it brushed or bumped up into this other student. But in any case, the parent and the principal deemed this a crime that required the deputies to come in and make an arrest. And so Consuela showed up for school the next day and was asked to come to the principal's office. And she saw the deputies standing outside, and things really quickly unraveled and spiraled down from there.
She became angry, used some language at that moment, right?
Yeah, she cursed out the sheriff's deputy, and she started walking away. She pulled out her cell phone to call her brother to tell her brother that there were sheriff's deputies there, and one of the deputies got angry and snatched the cell phone away from her. So what I've pieced together from Consuela's account and talking with her mother and also looking at police reports is that the sheriff's deputies hustled her out of the school and, shoved her into a wall, and then they were trying to escort her out of the building, and she said that they stepped on her toes, and she spat at Sergeant Michael Hogan. And at that point, according to Consuela, is when he struck her in the face. And that's, you can see, I think your listeners will be able to go to your website and see the picture of her with the two contusions. Also in this ordeal, after that, she was thrown onto the parking lot, and she said one of the officers placed a knee in her back, and she was having difficulty breathing.
Stateofthings.org is the place to go to see the picture. That's what she says. What does the sheriff's office say?
The sheriff's office has made no comment to us about it. They asked the SBI to investigate the officer's conduct, so they referred all questions to the SBI. And the SBI has completed an investigation by interviewing Consuela as well as the Sergeant Michael Hogan.
Okay, so at this point it's important to recap. There was no imminent danger that day. In fact, the police came the day after the initial complaint to make an arrest, and no violence apart from some language. And then we've got this photo of what happens to her. We don't know exactly how, according to the sheriff's deputies, but she's got an account. What should the police? Is there a policy that the school has about the police coming on campus to make an arrest the day after a complaint?
Yes, the school district does have a policy in regards to their school resource officer program. They do have school resource officers on campus. Apparently, these officers were, I'm told by Consuela, were officers that were not assigned to the school. So, yes, I mean, we have a lot of unanswered questions, both from the sheriff's office and the school district. But one of the policies, the school policies to protect students, says that if law enforcement wants to come onto campus to question them, they have the right to have their parents there so that they have protection against self-incrimination. Now, of course, in this case, the incrimination comes from the account of the other student's parents and the principal to the sheriff's office, which forms the basis of the complaint. But the school policy also dictates that arrests should not take place in schools in the presence of other students. Consuela's mom says that she was never contacted by the school about this incident. I wasn't able to get the school's side of that story, but
You've also troubling. Put this in context because you talked to the Youth Justice Project at the Southern Coalition for Social Justice to get kind of how this story fits into a larger picture in Randolph County and perhaps elsewhere. Tell us what you found.
This is definitely a concern across the state in both urban and rural school districts. According to the Youth Justice Project, the number of SROs in...
Those are student resource officers, in other words, police.
Yes,
who are assigned to schools, but they go ahead.
School resource officers. Yeah. The number has tripled in the past two decades in North Carolina. And actually also spoke to Consuela's her mother's cousin, Dexter Trogdon, who's a bail bondsman in Randolph County. And he was telling me that he previously worked as a substitute teacher and a coach in the school system and frequently felt like the school administrators over relied on the police and called in the police to handle discipline issues that really didn't require law enforcement.
It speaks directly to the school to prison pipeline, which we're hearing more and more about. We talked about that disturbing statistic. African Americans make up less than 4% of the population in Randolph County, but more than 25% of the juvenile complaints. NAACP, you talked with the county president of the NAACP, and he had some thoughts on this as well. Tell us what he said.
Yeah, just anecdotally, he said Consuela's story is indicative of police and schools having a heavy-handed approach to students of color. It's hard to get any hard numbers on complaints about excessive force towards students because unless the student and their family decide to come forward, that's a protected – any encounter with the juvenile justice system is a protected record. He said that he does have the sense that there are a lot of students of color who are getting roughed up by law enforcement officers in schools.
And in the school, Consuela reported having to endure racial epithets almost routinely, right?
Yeah, there's just a climate of racial tension. She and her siblings and cousins who are people of color, they're from a mixed family. They said that they constantly endure racial epithets. And there was a discussion in her classroom with the teacher that involved building the wall, the Donald Trump's promise, and that was kind of turned against her with the teacher saying, making some comment like maybe we should build a fence around you or something to that effect.
You recently started a project with the journalism organization ProPublica to record incidents of bias. Tell us about that report and what you're doing.
Well, I want to make it clear. I didn't start it. I came in about 6 months into it. It's launched by ProPublica with various news organizations. I Triad City Beats signed on as a partner, and I also helped lead a independent study with Professor Phoebe Zerwick, a great investigative journalist in Winston-Salem at Wake Forest University. So, and we basically, the deal is that bias incidents are way underreported, and law enforcement doesn't necessarily investigate all complaints or pass that on to the FBI, which compiles the national numbers. So what ProPublica is doing is kind of just compiling these incidents, and the students that I'm working with are scraping social media, Facebook and Twitter, to look for evidence of these incidents and then trying to corroborate it. And that information is passed on to journalists that do the legwork.
We will stay tuned. Jordan Green, contributing editor for Scalawag Magazine, also the managing editor of the Triad City Beat. Thank you so much, Jordan.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
You can find links to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, effeminate men, both loved and hated in popular culture. We'll talk about that paradox next on the State of Things. Stay tuned.